begrüße in Deutsch and I switch to English.
And I'm happy to welcome two guests today. It's a couple and it's Christian and Miriam Cervantes. I hope I'm saying the name right. It's a very beautiful Spanish sounding surname that you have, Christian, and you got married 13 years ago. So it's new people in town, new people in Vienna who just recently opened a new store that's called Caliena. And we want to hear all about it. Why moving to Vienna? Why now? Why Caliena? Why all of this? But maybe we are starting with your history on how you met and who you are and what you do. Miriam, why don't you start before we start fighting about it? Miriam, how did you guys meet? Because this is all part of the story, I think.
Yeah, so we met, like you said, 13 years ago, I think 13, 14 years ago in Barcelona, actually. I was there to go to a language school, kind of about to think about where I'm going to go for university and what to do. Christian was there after deciding to quit his job in New York and maybe, you know, not only learning Spanish, but also potentially working and living in Barcelona long term. And we met at a language school. We just saw each other and then started chatting, and it kind of went from there. We had a 1 year long distance relationship between Kematen, the tiny town in Tyrol that I am from, and New York, which is a much bigger town. And
now we're giving away your nationalities, Chris. I didn't mention that actually.
Yeah,
but so
true.
Miriam, you're coming from Tyrol and you're Austrian, and Christian, you are?
I come from Laguna Beach, California, Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so then we had a 1 year long distance relationship, and from then that point on, I then moved to New York to study. I went to Parsons, part of the new school, and then worked there as well. So I think I spent about 7.5 years in New York. Christian obviously had decided to go back as well, so that allowed us to kind of have our relationship there.
The cat as promised.
Is coming in, mm-hmm. Yes. and then after that, we moved to London, and we were there for 4 years before deciding to move to Vienna. So that's the very short version of it.
So what was your background professionally? You said you studied at Parsons, so design is a big part of your life. And what did you do so far in your lives in London, in New York, after Barcelona language school?
So Miri came and studied at Parsons for 4 years. She did a design and management course program, which is essentially the business of design. I was working in branding and advertising at the time. And we were there for a number of years. I worked for an agency called Mother. Mother is based in New York, London, and another office in Argentina at the time. After, 8 years together in New York, we lived in Brooklyn in Williamsburg. So we watched the whole rise of Williamsburg take place. We came out to London because the job I was working at Mother, they asked me to form the same design group that we had in New York in London. It looked like our opportunity to...
To wrap it up, it actually gives lots of hope to Viennese, you know, if you're like the guys who are in the hot spots of things, whether mm-hmm. it's developing, you know, like Williamsburg and London after, and now moving to Vienna. So what was the reason to decide, besides you being Austrian, Miriam, and I think that's part of the equation probably, but you moved here in 2019, right? That was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
2018?
No,
yeah.
20... Jeez, I don't know. We moved here a year and a half ago.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago.
We all lost track of time after the 2020 experience. We don't believe
that. 2019, March 2019, I think. Yeah,
yeah, in February. We moved on Valentine's Day, actually.
Yeah.
And I think the main reason it was Christian's idea. I don't think I would have ever really thought about coming back home in this way. And I actually don't know why, because every time we came to Vienna, and I have some family there, so we would come every year, I think, for a visit at least. We just really enjoyed it. And I think we really came to that point in our life where we knew that kind of super fast-paced hustle lifestyle that the agency world in those big cities provided us had kind of an end to it for us, because I think we at some point realized that putting all our energy into clients' work for clients that we couldn't necessarily choose because we were employed in agencies, and sometimes clients who we didn't really believe in or whose work and product we didn't really believe in wasn't how we wanted to spend our lives getting older. And we both worked very intense jobs, very, very late hours. I always say, I think in the first year, we basically saw each other for the first time at 10 p.m. when we decided to share a cab back home, because we both had our kind of late dinners in our respective agencies. And it just didn't feel like that was going to be the life we wanted to live. And at the same time, I think we became very aware of the things in life that made us really happy and that gave us the grounding that we needed to kind of manage our daily professional lives. And that became more and more important for us, I would say.
Was it at all like Brexit and a political decision as well? Was that like changing of I don't know, atmosphere or something? Is that something you'd see as part of the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Things probably won't get better.
Well, I think it was also we'd sort of been nomadic for so long, and you know, whether it was changing cities or traveling, and I think we wanted we wanted to build something, we wanted to plant roots somewhere. We really did. I mean, we actually like kind of traveled quite a bit to also find a place where we wanted to be. You know, there's a number of cities that we really enjoyed and we could see ourselves living in, but we knew we also wanted to run a business, and it just didn't seem realistic, or it didn't seem like, and now in retrospect, we're happy we came to Vienna, because we thought, oh, let's go to Barcelona, but it's like, my Spanish isn't that great.
I speak none.
Mary speaks none. And you think about the logistics and the bureaucracy or the city or the laws or taxes and all those things. And, you know, it's so much to handle already, apart from a new, entirely new culture and an entirely new language that we're not as familiar with. So I think, and we also didn't want to move to... I don't know. We wanted to move somewhere where there was just a better quality of life, and the focus was on that. I mean, that really became part of our ethos. And I think we spent so many years in these cities, and they were tremendous experiences. They gave us so much. We grew so much. I mean, it was a blessing in New York to have done that, and London. And in London, we had lived in a part of London, East London, near a park that we just loved, and we spent all our time there, like a lot of our time there. We lived like 5-minute walk from it. I always say it was like Mary Poppins, you know, and that really gave us a sort of, just reconnected us back to nature. And really, like with what we're doing now, it really sort of started there, because in New York we didn't really have plants in our home, and we didn't really sort of think of that much about it. We were sort of living this lifestyle, and then in London we started finding more of a balance and focusing on the balance, and realizing like, well, no, this feels healthier. This feels more in line with who we are and where we're going, what we want to do. So, but with Brexit and not having family in London, sort of being between California and Vienna or Austria and Tyrol, it just did strategically, and we are strategists also partly, Miri more so than me, but you know, you just think about it in that way and you're like, well, what's the smartest move? And it just made so much sense to come to Vienna, because it's just there's so much potential here. There's so much. And it's like, and I think having gone to all these cities and then coming to Vienna, you're like, oh my God, like, this city has so much going for it. It's amazing. And it's got this quality of life thing. And
I think once we started to travel while we were here, like, it was really, for me, it was really interesting seeing Vienna and Austria now in a new way through Christian's eyes, who is American.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even though obviously he's been to Austria a lot, it was so nice to see, because you suddenly see all those small things that were normal to me. And you just realize what an incredible place it is, like in so many ways. So we were like grateful. I think whenever we came, we traveled and we came back to Vienna, we're like, no, is this the best? What's the best?
You need to have the comparison, of course. You need to know what's not working other places to actually, as you say, appreciate what's working here. Let's take the shift on, like, you know, Chris, this is like, it's the background. It's like you gave me a couple of times when it's like planting roots. Miri, how was that? Because I think like the fascination for plants, and we're done hopping to Caljena, was you being passionate about plants. How did that start? Or was that something, did you grow up with plants? Did you grow up in nature? Is that something that you are familiar with from family background or something? Is that?
I mean, I think not necessarily plants so much, but I definitely grew up with a garden and my mom having her little vegetable garden, you know, running around in the fields, building tree houses, like literally what
your
Tyrol
parents
exactly, like you would just spend all this time in the meadows and the forest and it was just completely normal. But then I think I was always more of a city person, so that I completely lost that at some point. And I think when you're like 19 and moving to New York, you have other things you're more excited about than trees, you know. But I think, like Christian was saying, when we moved back to London and we realized we needed to find more of a balance than we maybe had before, and we gravitated towards certain things. And I think it was Victoria Park. Another huge reason, I think, was that we lived very close to Columbia Road Market, which I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's this amazing flower and plant market in London that's always open just on the weekend, one day a week. And we started, I mean, I was the one who, I think, pushed that, but I kept dragging Christian with me because I knew I wanted to buy flowers and buy plants, and that just gave me a lot of joy. And I also dabbled in floristry in parallel. So I went to the McQueen's Flower School and did the professional program there on the side next to my work, after I got to convince my boss that he has to give me that time off, which was great. And then I realized, though, that plants to me just felt a bit more both sustainable and also more joyful than cut flowers, because they do come to an end quite quickly. And in terms of, you know, the impact on the environment long term, it's just less sustainable. And so plants became this thing, and we just built, and every weekend we go buy plants, and it became this thing that just gave us a balance. And I just couldn't stop. It was my favorite thing to do, and I started to feel like repotting all those things. It was like meditation for me. Mm-hmm. And when something was wrong with a plant and you're like, check the roots, and you're like, okay, what's up with it? And you read about it. And I started collecting books from like the 70s about plant care. And that just really gave me so much joy. And I think once we knew, okay, we're going to do our own thing, what's the thing we're trying to do? It needs to be something that brings more joy to the world. What brings joy to us? And then we knew that plants kind of had to be a part of it. I think that was kind of the short path.
What is your attitude towards plants at that stage? Was that something like my crazy girlfriend likes plants type of thing? Or is it something that you are?
Oh, well, I remember there was a distinctive moment where I think I stepped outside of the conversation we're having and I saw this thing in her. You know, I think it's probably like, I don't know, I think I'm trying to use find the analogy for it, but I saw this passion in her. And I think, I don't know, I grew up with like skateboarding, snowboarding, and like that was my life. Everything was surrounded around that. And I think with Miri, I hadn't seen something like that as strong. And she just had this like, I mean, all she does, and even now, all she does is just listen to podcasts or read books in bed about plants and like obsesses. I mean, watch YouTube videos. Like, I mean, it's just, she's obsessed. And I think there is this connection. And when you recognize that connection, I mean, we're both working. I mean, she hates how I say it, but it was like fairly like, you know, successful jobs that I don't think people leave. Like, and we both chose to leave these jobs, which, you know, you hear people like follow your passion and do all these things. And it's this sort of like anthem of the, you know, this generation. But you hear this voice inside and you recognize these passions and you're like, okay, when it's finding that is really hard. You know, that's a thing. I think a lot of people are just, you know, want to find that. And I saw that in her. I saw that that's what was driving her. And she's like, I want to leave my job and do this. And of course, you're just like, oh, there's financial implications to that. And you're like, but it was one of those things where it's like, I knew for her that, and for us ultimately, that that was the best thing we could do. And
we already learn as listeners, this is so much more than just about plans. This yeah. is like so much oh about God. Like, you know, how a relationship actually works and oh, sometimes yeah. how you need to see the other and see, you know, what's in for me with it, you know, yeah. instead of like competing careers and competing yeah. cities and competing within a coupleship, I'd say, you know, mm-hmm. so this is what I, you know, which I think is really interesting because this is, as you're describing, you weren't necessarily super unhappy with your jobs and you did.
No, very fulfilling, very, but also stressful and not really where we thought. We would often say to be honest, we were like, we don't want to be that. The agency, like
animal
power couple, you know, it just wasn't our like aspiration.
Well, and I think we both spent enough time in those businesses to be able to look at our bosses and see that while they were really happy in what they were doing and amazing people, it wasn't necessarily what I was, you know, personally, for example, looking for in my my future. It's just, oh, that type of job isn't for me, but great for that person. And I think once you realize that, then you realize it's what you're always saying, like maybe you're climbing up the ladder of the wrong building. And so we're like, well, do we, you know, jump down and climb up another ladder, or do we just remove this idea of the ladder as a whole and just yeah. do what we feel like and hope for the best? And I think
it all sounds like kind of dreamy in that way. I mean, there was a lot of fear. I mean, there was so much fear and so many discussions. This did not happen overnight. I mean, this was
like 3 years in the making.
A long time in the making. We conceived of the idea 3 years ago in London. Even then, we didn't conceive of it. It was just an inkling of something that we were like, let's pursue this. And then it evolves. And I mean, at some point, I remember seeing Mira like, I don't want to own a plant shop. Like, it can't just be this thing. And she understood that, like, you know, like with my background in design and running the design group at Mother, I mean, that was my life and I love design. And so it was like, well, how do we mix these two? And like concept, like I thrive on concept. Like I need deep, fulfilling concept. And I mean, we both do. And I think, you know, she's a strategist. So having things just like click in place. So we spent a lot of time figuring out the underpinnings of what this thing is. And, you know, a lot of people will look at it now and think they can put their finger on it, but we have a lot more to do and there's a lot more to come. And we're excited to be able to show what that concept really is. And it comes from us and where we've come from and this desire to grow. We think ultimately everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to realize this fullest potential that they have in themselves, this voice that they constantly know is there. And, you know, society and other expectations can often dampen that voice and people get frustrated and discouraged and depressed because they know they're not following, they're not being true to themselves. We felt that. I mean, we felt that to the most, you know, intense levels. And we left these jobs and we left this place and we left two lives in London and New York. We built tribes, you know, we built successful careers, and to leave those behind and go after this. People often say when we left, when I left my job, people said, they'd say, oh, you know, it was funny because they say, you're so brave, you know? And I would actually say, I'm not brave. It was actually more painful. At that point, it was more painful to stay than it was to leave. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't brave. That was just, we just knew we needed to do this.
I think we went, we pushed each other for long enough to go so far in the development that if we wouldn't have gone through with it, we could probably not have looked at each other and ourselves anymore, because we knew we would have chickened out. And I think that's kind of probably what it took. And it's funny because all we did for like you for 15 years and me for 7 or 8 was make presentations and PDFs of these concepts and, you know, abstract ideas, and we kept doing that for each other and together, and then we had maybe a 250 page PDF of this whole thing. We're like, and then my family was just, you have to just do it, or you're gonna go insane. And then they kind of also helped push us, I think, a bit when we needed it.
And we pushed each other. I mean, we're like sparring partners in that way, where like, I mean, it's funny because she's like, oh, it was my idea to move to Vienna, and like, I think I'll do these things, or I'll come up with this thing. And then Miri is like, yes, that's exactly what we've been talking about. That's exactly what we're thinking. And then I'll chicken out at some point. I'll be like, I'll get cold feet, and I'll be like, oh, I don't know if we should do this. Oh, I don't know if we should take this location. I don't know if we should move here. I don't know if we should take that apartment. Da, da, da. And Miri's like, we're doing it. And I think it's that thing where then I see this confidence in her, and this like,
this strength
strength, and like that strength is super inspiring for me. And
I interrupt because I love how the conversation goes, because we we didn't actually talk about Caliena. And I think, you know, the impression that we get by listening to you guys is like, you know, you found the form with Caliena, but it could have been this and it could have been something else. Like, it's just the frame, you know, and as you're describing it, it's like, and as you say, Christine, at the end, you know, you point the finger and it's like, oh, of course, you know, concept store, plant, da, 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 it's all, you know, but it's like so much more underneath. And that's like so important, I think, to this kind of like, yes, take life in your own hands, and yes, follow your dreams, but it's like, it's not done with that. You know, you really need to dig deeper before you're actually doing the first step. And this is so interesting, I think, to listen to, because, you know, this is what it takes, you know, be thoughtful about it. And then in the end, it's like, you gotta, you know, do the step.
Well,
we're circling around. So we established the city, we established your community, the passion for plants, and now it's all coming full circle. At the moment in Caliena, which is the beginning of a new, bigger platform, I'd say. So let's dive into Caliena. Fill us in what Caliena is. So we said California meets Vienna meets Austria. This is where the name comes from, right? This is how difficult was it to actually come up with the name, come up with the framework. That was page 150 to 220, I guess.
We had so many names. But I think to what you just said, I wanted to just make the point. I remember there's some quote saying that the Empire State Building isn't built on a slab of stone. There's a deep foundation that goes that, and if you try to build the Empire State Building or some kind of, you know, legitimate like structure on a, like a, you know, a 10 centimeter slab of stone, like that thing's gonna topple over. And I think starting a business is a very difficult thing, but it's so worthwhile and so fulfilling. But building, getting those roots, digging deep. And I think that's what we did. We dug very deep, not only like just from like figuring out the business structure, but just personally what we wanted to contribute to the world, what we want our lives, what we want to spend our lives doing and contributing to, and the city we wanted to be in and to do that in. And I think Caliena is this mixture of California meets Vienna, but it's also, it's a sweet wordplay, and we like the name, and it sounds like a plant, and it's really, but it's also, it's a philosophical thing, you know, like California sort of has these connotations of a more abstract, dreamy, a bit warm. It's very warm.
And it's optimistic.
Optimistic. And Vienna is sophisticated and crafted and storied, and it has all this elegance to it. And if you build a brand based on one or the other by themselves, I mean, they can be interesting, but they're fairly one-dimensional. But when you put those things together, what happens when those two philosophies and those two aesthetics and those two points of view come together? That's what Caliena is. And
Miri, in a nutshell, by now, hopefully everybody has Googled Kalyaner, so you already know what Kalyaner is. But so Kalyaner is a store in Vienna's 7th district at Neubaugasse, mm-hmm. on like some 300 square meters. It's quite large,
yeah,
right? It's quite big.
Right now, only about half of that is like open to the public. But we will expand it in different ways once maybe COVID restrictions allow us to.
And what can you do in Kalyaner? You can buy plants for your house, right? So it's exotic plants, and it's like, but it's not plants for your garden, but it's plants for your for the house and the apartment, for city people and urban people looking at nature. But it's much more. You have a coffee place there, you have books, you have design objects. And it's much more about the atmosphere. And now that it's been open for 2 months or so,
I have
people talking to me about it. And they're like, yeah, you need to discover this. So I think it's like this, you already established within the first couple of weeks a whole new unique place in the city that didn't exist like this before. So it's far beyond a flower or plant store, but it's a place where people like to go because it makes them feel good, right?
That was exactly the intention, I think. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a place where you'd like to dwell and hang out and get inspired in whichever way you'd like. Obviously, we have a lot of plants. We're focused on both the arid kind of, you know, desert plants like cacti and succulents, but then also more tropical ones, everything for indoor. We're trying to have a broad selection, both from plants for beginners that might, you know, walk by, and we see that it's amazing because our kind of depth or breadth of customers really varied. So we have people that come in and they're like, I've just walked by and now I want a plant, but I have never had one. Like, what do I do?
And they're like beginner's plants and more sophisticated plants.
Exactly.
That's interesting because I'm a person who's been with plants and animals much longer than it's been on vogue. So it's I'm more like, I'm a savior. It's like, they find me, those horrible plants all find me, and I feel like responsible for every single one of them. And so it's a whole, but I think it's an interesting concept that you say there's like a beginner's plant. So I guess it's like a aloe vera or something, or like a cactus.
It's depending. But it's a plant that I think gives joy to someone and who doesn't maybe know as much or have a feeling for it yet, so that the plant doesn't die on them within 2 months and then they're sad and they're like, I don't have a green thumb and never want to go back to that world.
Which is a mess.
Which is a total mess. And then there's plants that are a bit more, you know, complicated in the care, but also like really beautiful. I think we have people come in that have literally 150 plants and they're like, can I have this specific one? Do you happen to have it? And it's great when we do. We don't have everything, but it's kind of, there is that whole aspect. But our motto, and Christian talked about it earlier, is grow every day. And so it's about the growth in the more literal sense, which comes through plants and the positive impact that plants have on person themselves, but also in the living space and the environment. And then there is the more kind of philosophical element of growth, which comes through in the books that we're selling, which are more about, you know, self-help or personal development. And then we have some design objects which also kind of support that, or that just allow you to be maybe more present. We also just have a few things because we think they're cool and there's no concept to them.
We're always trying it. We're constantly curating the objects and things that we carry, and we're trying to work with either brands we care about or we think, you know, are, you know, interesting, and craftspeople and those kinds of things, because we just feel like that, you know, in the age of convenience, when everything is just readily available over the internet, I think in general we're starving a bit. You know, it's kind of like Yuval Harari has this quote where he says, or somebody, maybe it's not Yuval Harari, something like, in this age of information, we have just endless information, but we're like starving for like nourishment, because there's just all this, it's like sugar, you know, and so I think what we're trying to do is carry things of depth and have conversations of depth and create an experience that has a richness to it. I think we feel that, or people feel that when they come into the space.
You want to share a bit like the experience of the first couple of weeks of like, who are the customers? Do you have like people who come regularly already? Do you, how is that going for the first, and how is it different from like what you imagined before opening and now that it's open? And I mean, it's again lots of work, obviously. It's not done by itself, so I see you both kind of like keep on, you know, you're used to hard work anyway, so that's a good thing, you know.
That's true. We thought we came here for that balance and that quality of life.
So how's like theory and practice, how is like the first couple of weeks, how is the people you meet, how the conversations, how are endless?
I feel like the work is 10 times more than we could have imagined, but it's also 10 times more rewarding than we could have imagined. And I think 100%. Until you talk to people and they give you a certain feedback, or you see the like joy in their eyes, and then like it just gives you so much that it makes you work, you know, so much harder. I think it's been really gratifying in many ways. And I think because we know that there is a lot more that we want to do with the exhibition space upstairs and having kind of readings and bringing in more of that, you know, grow every day aspect, that's the more philosophical aspect that we don't really have the time for at the moment and that we can't execute on because of COVID as well. That is just really exciting because we just know that there's so much more we can give back to the city and to the people that have been coming by. And we do have
that, that's the point. I mean, that's, I think that's really important to like note, is that like we did this, we're doing this to follow our dreams and to fulfill this passion that we have. But ultimately, like with the plants and with the books and with the exhibitions that we'll have upstairs, it's about opening doors. It's about, and everybody is on their own journey, so that somebody comes in and it's like, we're not presenting, oh, go this way. We're just presenting options that we were afforded, that we had the opportunity to encounter. And I think that for us is the most fulfilling, to have somebody come in, like one of the greatest compliments we got was this woman Rosanna came in and she's like, this store is like therapy. And it's like, you know, and that nurturing feeling. And I think for somebody to be able to come in, and whether it's taking home a plant or discovering a book or discovering themselves in a book, you know, or in an exhibition that we'll have, where we're very excited, where we have a couple concepts that we're playing with now, that kind of openness and that kind of explore and those kinds of conversations, I mean, ultimately, like, that is where it becomes more than a job and more than a business. And I think we were in businesses and we're striving and aiming to create something deeper and richer than maybe what we had before, you know, which was more self-involved. And I think in this case, we're really excited about sharing that, not just with, you know, the city, but I think just with, I don't know, with
the world.
Ultimately.
And I think what's been so nice is because you asked earlier about who's coming in the door, and I think it's really varied. Like we have, for example, what really surprised me is we have a lot of like Gen Z, like very young people, a lot of young girls, but also guys coming in. And it's so nice for, you know, because I think they're interested maybe in the plants, and they might have seen more plants on Instagram, and that was the initial inspiration. But then you see them buying a book and you're like, oh, like we can influence them in all these cool ways, you know, and give them something really meaningful as they leave the space. And I think that's super exciting, that it kind of, you see really young people caring for that kind of stuff more than I think my generation used to at that age. And that's really great. And then we have some very, you know, like old customers come in and they are like, oh my god, these are plants I've never seen in my life. And that's like really cool too. So it's, I love how varied it is, and that it's not just one type of person that we help.
And we were so used to, like, in our like meetings, it's like our age demographic is this and we're aiming for this. And it's like, here it's like we're just aiming for open-minded people, you know, people who are like want to grow, and that's everybody, you know. It doesn't matter. And I think we tried with the books to, like, the plants have things that are accessible and that things that aren't like too esoteric and too difficult, but we have those as well, you know. And I think that thing is like anytime I see somebody holding The Alchemist, I'm like, I every time I walk by, I'm like, that book changed my life. And then they're instantly like, and it did, it changed. It was a precursor to us meeting, you know. And you just realize that when you, what is that book about? It's about following the voice within, It's about listening to what it says and learning to love yourself and to grow that potential and those possibilities that you know you have for yourself, and following that, no matter how scary and difficult it might be. And that's essentially the story of Kalyana, and that's a story of us. I mean, it's our relationship, it's everything. It's like, and it's why we have such a strong relationship too, is that I think we challenge each other, we ask a lot of each other. I mean, I'm a better man because of her. I mean, she makes me just a better person.
Now that we're all like falling into tears.
We got us back into reality. I'll let off to the store. So everybody who is listening in, Kalyana, you find them on Instagram, and that's very inspirational by itself as a channel already. And whoever happens to be in Vienna and can come to the 7th District, you obviously need to go there for plants, coffee, or a chat with the lovely two people. And we'll hang on. We'll be on your feet, actually, or on your auf den Fersen, and then we'll follow you with like the adventure of Kalyana. Thank you very much for being with us, and let's speak soon.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Good.